Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Happy Palm Sunday. Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. Today I'm joined by Pastor Billy Logan, who is our pastor of discipleship here at Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg. Pastor Billy, it's good to have you. How are you doing this Palm Sunday?
Good, Grayson. Hey, glad to be on here with you. It's always a pleasure and a joy to get to talk about scripture and the things that matter. So yeah, I'm glad to be with you today.
I talked to you before we started recording today about how special Palm Sunday is, and you know, a celebration, and then Easter, another big celebration. But there's a whole week between those 2 days, and we call that Passion Week. And Good Friday's always been good, a big day for our church. We always celebrate that. And there's Monday, Thursday. Some churches have Monday, Thursday services. But there's a significance, different things that the Bible talks about in each of the days in Holy Week. And I thought it would be good just to have you in to kind of focus and share about the importance of Passion Week and how we can observe and kind of get still before the Lord. And for those listening today, we've already kind of done that as we're recording. We're actually in the Lenten season, and we still are, because that leads up to Easter. So that's a time of reflection, a time of getting quiet before the Lord and letting him speak and sacrifice. You know, a lot of times in Lent, we think about giving up something, but really it's not about giving up something, but it's focusing that time that we would spend doing that on seeking the Lord, whether it be in prayer or reading the Bible or whatever. So what are your thoughts on this season of the year, Passion Week, Palm Sunday?
Yeah, no, you're like you said, we're in the Lenten season, and this is the final week of it in our Christian faith. We celebrate Lent, this 40 days leading up to Easter, with brothers and sisters of the faith all around the world, which is pretty awesome, because it puts in perspective just how big the kingdom of God is. You know, sometimes we get caught up in our in our own context, but really the Church of Christ is universal. It's it's everywhere, and so we're kind of like in solidarity with other believers around the world. And it's interesting because this, as we enter now the final week leading up to what is Resurrection Sunday. Our anticipation is building, but through this season, hopefully we've had time to reflect and to repent of those things in our lives that have distracted us, have blinded us from seeing Christ clearly and living the way he's called us to, and to be renewed by his spirit. Dallas Willard, the theologian, writer, author, he said the greatest issue facing the world today, and right, we could say there's a lot of issues facing our world.
Right, yeah.
Everybody on here knows, if you turn the news on, if you turn on social media, you're going to see some issues. They're right there in our face. Our world seems smaller than it's ever seemed. But he said the greatest issue facing the world today, with all of its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who by profession or culture are identified as Christians will become disciples and students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of heaven into every corner of human existence. And so this season really sets that in perspective. Are we, if we go by the name of Christ, are we living that life of the kingdom of heaven? You know, Jesus prayed, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we see that this week in Passion Week, Jesus bringing that to fulfillment in his earthly life as he goes and moves towards the cross, all that that truly meant to really set an example for all who would come after him, his disciples, yes, his apostles, those who are with him immediately, but also for us who would eventually follow him centuries later.
Right, yeah, and it's cool that you mention, and obviously I know this, but during this Lenten season, all around the world, people are taking time to focus on Christ. And Lent, that's taken time away from other things in our lives to focus on Him. And it's not just prayer.
Yeah.
It's also reading the Word. But I think of prayer, you know, at the time of this recording, we had a men's Bible study earlier in the morning. And one of the guys in our group, Dave Gray, shared an Oswald Chambers quote about the importance of prayer. Mm. Like a lot of times we tell people, well, I'll be praying for you. But if we really are praying for people, that's like we might feel like, well, all I can do is pray for you. But that's the most important thing we can do for people, because that's, I remember something my grandmother said once, prayer is us telling God what He can do, not what man can do.
Yeah.
And so relying on God and trusting Him and seeking Him is really one of the most important things I think we can do as a believer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jesus set that precedent even in His earthly life, in the ministry we see in the scriptures. He would oftentimes, when He was overwhelmed, when He was feeling the weight of ministry and suffering and people who He encountered, He would go off by Himself, right, and pray to the Father.
Right.
And so if our Savior, our example, our King, if He did that, how much more do we need that in our day-to-day walk and journey with Christ? But yeah, I mean, we find ourselves today, this is Palm Sunday, right? And if you grew up in the church, Palm Sunday was this reminiscent, maybe for you, of palm branches waving and kids parading through the sanctuary. But it is quite fascinating if you dig beneath the surface, that Palm Sunday is really this kind of like confused party that's happening. Because Jesus is really going to surprise everyone. Our great King is going to not take the world by might, as they anticipated, but He's going to take it by mercy. A lowly King entering on a donkey, coming to change everything and make it all new. He just wasn't going to do it in the way that they had anticipated. And so really, this is it's a day where we anticipate what's coming, but we're not there yet, right?
Yeah, they thought He was coming to be a king to deliver them from the bondage of Rome. But really, He was coming to set them free from sin.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, eternal freedom is essentially, they didn't understand that, even though He tried to tell them. His own disciples didn't even fully understand why He was coming.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In their context, victory was won through strength and through striving. That's what victory was. But Jesus was clearly going to show in this week and ultimately in what's coming next weekend, He was going to show that victory is won through suffering and sacrifice.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't sit well with our flesh very much. You know, we want to fight and we want to be strong. And Jesus says, actually, weakness and suffering and sacrifice leads to the victory that God is after.
Yeah. And talking about suffering, once again, the day of this recording, Brian Charette shared the meat, so to speak, of our meeting, and he focused on suffering and how suffering can draw us closer to God. Now, I think of something my dad said one time. He doesn't want any unnecessary suffering. We don't want to cause any extra suffering.
Yeah.
But we want to be willing, if God calls us into a season of suffering, to know that He'll be with us, He's going to get us through it, that we can embrace it, kind of, so to speak, seek Him, how He can use it. Because, like, and even Jesus was fully human and fully God. He asked God in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's your will to take this cup of suffering from me. He knew He was about to go to the cross and die. He said, but He finished that by saying, but not my will, your will be done.
Yeah.
And we need to that's not an easy thing to say. I mean, especially knowing you're going to die and suffer, be beaten. And so, but if God can say, not my will, but thine be done, we need to be able to say that as His followers, as His believers, with Him living in our hearts. That's got to be our echo, too.
Yeah, that's really good, Grayson. I mean, we look at today, the Palm Sunday picture, and what the people of that day thought could save them, and what we often get blinded by even in our own day, we think that earthly power, political revolution, something like that is going to save, and it just couldn't. And so we see this picture of Jesus arriving into Jerusalem, and He's worshipped and He's heralded by the people, but they didn't know how He was going to come to rule. And we ultimately know now on this side of the cross that he didn't come to rule with a golden crown of power, but from a Gentile cross of punishment, our punishment, right? He didn't deserve any of it, but he took it anyway. And Pastor Kevin, our lead pastor here, he recently said in a sermon, he said, "What has your worship cost you lately?"
Right.
And man, that struck me because it's like worship, when we make it all about music, it doesn't really cost us anything, right?
Right.
But when we see worship as a way of life, that our life is worship when lived unto Jesus, when lived for his glory. Right. And we say, "What does your worship cost you?" And then we look at Jesus this week and what it cost him in the garden, like you're saying. Yeah. He goes to the garden this week and he's praying, and we can see he's already beginning to suffer. He's being pressed by the Father. And his worship, his obedience to the Father is going to cost him everything. But praise God, because his payment on our behalf took that from us, so it doesn't cost us.
Right.
And
something else, we were in this series on worship. And it's worship, like you said, it's not just singing and worshiping on Sunday morning. But when you're talking about cost, we're not just talking about money either. Certainly, God calls us to give money. But he also calls us to give our time and our talents and our abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're called to give more than just money. We're called to give, you say, everything. But whatever Pastor Kevin also said, it's not equal gift, it's equal sacrifice. He was talking about the woman who gave the two mites and how she gave more than those that were given, you know, thousands of dollars or whatever, because that's all she had. She gave everything.
Mm.
And technically, Pastor Kevin said she only had to give one of her coins, but she gave both.
Yeah, that's good. And I think he was quoting your dad on that, about the equal sacrifice, which is a beautiful way to put it, because none of us can give what Jesus gave, right?
And we
none of us should. We shouldn't try to do that. He's already paid that in full. And many people sitting here listening today may be thinking, man, that sounds great. That sounds really pious, and it sounds, really righteous.
Right.
But how do I get to that place? You know, what does that look like in my life as I look at Jesus and I look at him entering in and on Monday of Passion Week, he goes in and he clears the temple and he's purifying the temple from all that has defiled it. And we believe that he does that in our lives. If we yield ourselves to him, right? You referenced Brian's teaching on suffering, and it really is about yielding ourselves to him, because we're part of the Church of the Nazarene, and we're holiness people,
right?
That's our banner. And so holiness people, we believe optimistically that our lives, our spiritual lives especially, can be impacted and transformed by the work of God's holy love to such a degree that our old wounds, our destructive tendencies and habits, our sins that maybe even have been long buried, can be healed and forgiven and redeemed in the light of God's holy love, which then enables us to live in this way that you and I are talking about, right? The example that Jesus set for us this week.
Yeah, he came not just to save us, but to purify us, to sanctify us. So even though coming to Christ and accepting him into your life is a one-time thing, it's a continual thing. It's a growing closer to God and surrendering everything to him. It's kind of like the rooms in a house. You don't say, "Lord, you can have every room, but there's this one room that you can't have." No, when you surrender your life to God, you give it all to him.
Yeah. And as we look to this week, we really see that in Jesus. Monday he clears the temple. Tuesday we see him go back and he disputes with the religious leaders about how outwardly, it's not about just religious activity. Outwardly they looked good. They were checking all the boxes.
Whitewashed tombs.
That's exactly what he called them. On Tuesday of this week, that's what he calls them. He says, "You guys are whitewashed tombs, and you look so beautiful on the outside, but really it's all selfish. It's all greedy. It's inwardly you're rotten." And then Wednesday, we don't have anything. Thursday, right? He shares in the Passover, the Last Supper, and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we've referenced some of that. But it's a whole life practice that we see here, a whole life surrender. And Jesus sets that example to us and for us in this week as he sets his eyes on the cross.
Right. And surrender isn't just a one-time thing. It's a continual thing.
And
I mean, we're human. We're going to mess up. The disciples are proof of that. He told Peter, Peter said, I'll die with you. Like, I'm not going to disown you. And he says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, that you know me three times. But there's, when we do mess up, there's forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, and he's willing to forgive us. You know, even Judas, who chose not to ask for forgiveness, you know, Peter asked for forgiveness for denying him, but Judas didn't. But there was even forgiveness for Judas. Even after Judas disowned Jesus, he still could have made the decision to come back. Now, ultimately, he didn't.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he chose to hang himself, which is, you know, the sad thing. The devil lured him down that path and basically made him feel like, well, you've messed up too much. But you've never, as long as there's breath in your lungs, you're not so far away from God that you can't turn back to him.
Yeah, that's a good word. I mean, yeah, he is a God of all grace, right? Mm-hmm. And something that you had said there at the beginning was just like this daily practice. And Jesus had taught that to his followers. And he told them, hey, if you're going to follow me in the way, if you're going to follow in the way of your teacher, you got to deny yourself and you got to take up your cross daily. Right. And the cross was what, you know, that's the pinnacle of our faith now. But to them, that would have been like someone punching them in the gut.
Right.
I mean, that was horrific, the most shameful way to die. And he's telling his followers before he ever goes to the cross, hey, you're going to have to deny whatever your fleshly desires are. Take up your cross daily and follow me for all that it's worth.
Right.
And in the end, right, we get to resurrection.
Right.
But day to day, it takes us denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following after him.
Yeah, and I mentioned Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, which obviously wasn't good on that Friday. And then we have Silent Saturday, which that was the day after. That they probably thought, and even though he said, I will rise on the third day, they're probably like, I can't believe that any of them thought that after what they saw happen on Good Friday, that there was going to be any hope of rising on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a good point. And there's a worship song that came out a few years ago, and I can't remember the title of it right now, but many will know it. It says, like, even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Yeah.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Yeah.
Right? And those words sound nice, and they lift us up. But it's true. I mean, like you said, this week we'll eventually get to Silent Saturday, you know, after he's been buried in the tomb. And it seems like all hope has literally been crucified, right? But the truth is, because we know on this side of Christ's resurrection, that even when the disciples couldn't see it, even when they couldn't feel it, God was working. And he's doing the same in our lives today. If we'll look to him, if we'll trust him, if we'll take up our cross and we'll follow him for all that we have, for all that we are, and just yield ourselves completely to him.
Yeah, and it's just, I think of the Last Supper with the disciples that he had. Actually, recently I went with mom and dad to go see the movie out in theaters, The Last Supper. And it depicts, like, obviously they add stuff that we can never know, but it's interesting just the perspective of what could have happened.
Yeah.
And that's part of that was why I was talking about Peter denying him, the rooster crowing three times, and Judas hanging himself. In this depiction, now I don't think this happened, but it was an interesting way. They show Peter coming across Judas after he had hung himself. And it was almost like Satan was trying to get Peter, after he had denied Jesus, to do the same thing as Judas. Now, obviously, we know Peter didn't do that. He came and confessed to Jesus, and later when Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection, he calls Peter to come out on the water to him.
Yeah,
and he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And I think that's symbolic, because there were three times where he was asked, "Do you know him?" and three times he denied him, and then Jesus three times, and it irritates Peter because he's like, "Yes, Lord, I love you," but he didn't realize, I think, he was giving Peter a second chance to make things right. You know, he would forgive him. It's not like he had to make it right. He confessed.
Right.
But he was giving him a second opportunity to, in the face of saying, "Do you love me?" And it's not just, "Do you love me?" But he said, "Feed my sheep." Like that, he was answering God's call on his life, saying, "Peter, I'm not done with you." I mean, he told Peter, "You're the rock."
Yeah.
That I'm going to build my church on, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Yeah. And that's, he built his kingdom, right? Yeah. He established it, in his first coming, and, certainly, put the exclamation point on it this week, right? Yeah. In Passion Week, because without this week and his suffering and his death and ultimately his resurrection, our faith is just hollow, right?
Yeah,
and so
right.
The truth and the reality of the resurrection right. Is the foundation
right.
for all that we believe, for all that we profess, for all that you've said and I've said and God's word testifies to. And so, Jesus is unlike any king that this world has ever known.
Yeah.
His kingdom is unlike any kingdom of the world.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And what separates Jesus is Resurrection Sunday. Mm. If he hadn't resurrected, he wouldn't have been any different than any other prophet that had come before him.
That's right.
You know, he wouldn't have, the fact that he said he was the Son of God, if he hadn't risen from the dead, people would have been like, well, he wasn't who he said he was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he clearly wasn't the king that people wanted. In
right.
his day, right? But he's much more than they could ever have imagined.
Who they needed. Who we needed.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He is what they needed. He's what we need. Because what we think will save us, it just simply can't. And what we never imagined could is exactly the thing that brings our salvation.
Yeah, it says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy.
Mm.
Because I've heard my dad say this before. This isn't our home. Earth is not our home. Mm. We're just passing through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good word. I mean, we look at throughout history, you know, and maybe we've been graced, and I don't know, maybe not. But there's been many throughout history. We look at our brothers and sisters in the faith who have been arrested and beaten, and they've been slain because of their belief in Jesus, right?
Yeah.
But only Jesus.
Right.
Only Jesus has experienced being made sin and a curse for all of us. And that's what this week leads up to, right? We say it's the triumphal entry, and it was only triumphant, just like you said, just like in relation to Good Friday. It's only triumphal right. because what it led to on our behalf.
Right.
Jesus was forsaken by his Father so that you and I would never have to be forsaken.
Right.
I mean, the good news of what occurs this week, even with the heaviness of it, it's more marvelous than you and I could fathom.
Yeah, and God demanded a innocent sacrifice. Mm. And none of us were innocent. He had to send his Son, who is fully God and fully human, without sin, to pay that price for us.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a verse written down here, which goes right along with what you just said. It's 1 Peter 1. Verse 18 and 19, and this is the New Living Translation. And Peter wrote it this way, right? Peter was right there. He said, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, that is what this week is leading to. And hey, we're going to get to Sunday. Sunday's coming, right? And it is. I know it's Sunday where we're going to be hearing this and talking through these things. But Sunday, right? Resurrection Sunday is coming. And so we have that anticipation. But let's not speed through this week. Maybe what God wants to reveal to us, what he wants to do in us, to give us the mind of Christ, to make us more fitting into the image of his Son. Let's take time this week and soak in every moment that God would allow us.
Yeah. And whether it be half hour or whatever time it is for you, I think of the whole thing not equal giving. And some people might have more time to give than others, but it's whatever's a sacrifice to you during that week.
That's good.
To set aside time to focus on him. And salvation is a free gift, but it wasn't cheap. It cost God everything. It cost Jesus his life, everything. And we shouldn't take that for granted and shouldn't take that lightly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Can I say a word here just for parents? Being a pastor of discipleship, and I got four little ones of my own. I know sometimes parents wrestle with how to walk through this season and this week with their kids. There's a good book that I really like. It's probably at Walmart, Target's online. It's called Easter is Coming. it's a beautiful picture. And it goes through some of the suffering things, but it's basically this perspective of like, those who were living in Jesus' day, they didn't know that Easter was coming. But we know it's coming, right? And so it helps build this anticipation with children and what Easter is and why we celebrate it, why it's the pinnacle of our faith. Another thing is, parents, there's these things called resurrection eggs, and it's like a dozen eggs, right? And there's a little object in each one. And they teach us about Passion Week. They start with like a donkey for a triumphal entry. Ours are from Family Life. And our kids love these. They're very simple, but they just rehash the story of Passion Week and make it easy for kids to digest it and understand, hey, this is exactly what happened. These are some of the characters, the objects that help us remember the truth of this week and the importance of it for all of history. Right. Yeah. Certainly for us personally, but throughout history. And so, yeah, man, it's been a pleasure being on here with you today and talking through these things.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me, Pastor Billy. It's been great to have you. And it's great that you talked about that illustration. And sometimes even as adults, it's good to have kids' illustrations, because Jesus said in the Bible, unless you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm. And I think the innocence of a child.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to see Easter through a child's eyes. Like sometimes every year we can just go through the motions, get used to it. And it just seeing Easter, it's the same with Christmas, the birth of Christ, which if it wasn't for his birth, he couldn't have died, which we know he was born to die. But we need to have a renewed, kind of a renewed outlook every year and know that it's every year we're celebrating something grand. Every day we should be grateful for the days that he's given us.
That's good. That's good, man. That's a good word. Yeah. He's making everything new. And sometimes the best perspective is that of the eyes of a child, right?
Yeah. Pastor Billy, any other thoughts that you have in the last few minutes that we have here that I haven't maybe asked you, or that you haven't shared, or that you have in your notes?
No, I just lean into this week. And allow the Lord to do something new in your heart, to open you up to a deeper level of intimacy with himself as you look to Jesus as your servant, leader, king, who is going to go to the cross for the sins of the whole world.
Pastor Billy, would you mind closing us in prayer, just praying for this season, praying that we will look to him and spend some time, whether it be in prayer or the word or just seeking him, to reveal what he has for us in this season and going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe. And that is how, Lord, you are to be addressed. That is who you are. And we thank you for who you are to each one of us. We thank you, God, for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you've promised to do. We thank you, God, that your word reminds us that your mercies are made new with the morning. And so certainly, Lord, we are dependent on those mercies each and every day. Lord, I pray for the person who may be listening, who's in the valley, who's suffering, who's can't really process the next thought. They're just trying to survive. In a sense, they just feel like, I got to get through this day. That they would encounter you in these moments, in these days ahead, and that they would experience a new life, God, new hope. Because you are alive, Lord, because you have experienced resurrection, we have hope today that the best is yet to come. No matter what we find ourselves in, whether it's on the mountaintop or in the valley, God, the best is yet to come when our faith is in you, when we're looking to you and trusting you for the rest. And so I pray today, God, that that would be true in each one of our lives, Lord, and that we would be faithful if we go by your name to live, Lord, in a way, God, that certainly brings the kingdom of heaven into our reality, Lord, in our homes, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, so that others can see, God, just how good you are. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Billy, for joining me on Hope Talks today. It's been a great conversation. And I know it's brought hope to my life, and believe that it's brought hope to those that are listening. Thank you for joining me.
Amen, man. It's been a pleasure.
It's been great to have you. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Pastor Billy and I's conversation today on Palm Sunday, Easter and Passion Week and the significance of it, and the significance of taking time to focus on Him and to hear from Him, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.